Okay, well, we'll open with prayer and then we'll get started with the Bible study. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne on this, your Sabbath day, thanking you for so many of the blessings you give to us. Thank you for this beautiful day that we've had. Thank you for especially our calling, the opening of our minds to your word of truth. We ask for that continued guidance today and your inspiration on this Bible study. Help us to understand more of your word and the principles that we can learn from it. So we ask for your inspiration now and your guidance as we go home yet this evening, and ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, today, very exciting, we're going to start another book, the book of Numbers today, and we're going to be covering the introduction to the book of Numbers and also chapter 1. Now, we just finished the book of Leviticus, and we realized that Israel had received instructions from God regarding worshiping Him, how they were to approach His presence. Now, as we begin the book of Numbers, we're going to see that Israel is going to be organized in a manner so that they can march forward and go in to the promised land. God is going to organize them in a very orderly fashion. Remember, we've talked about the fact that there's an estimated 2 million people that had left the slavery of Egypt. He's going to have them go into the land of the promised land, the land of Canaan, in an organized fashion. Not disorganized and scattered, but organized. And that's what we're going to see at the beginning of this book. To do that, a census is going to be taken, which is where the name Numbers comes from. And the census, the count, is accomplished also because it will be done in an organized manner. But before we get into the introduction to the book of Numbers, let's do a quick review, a timeline review of where we stand from the time that Israel came to Mount Sinai and what we will be discussing in these first chapters of Numbers. Exodus chapter 19 through Numbers 10, verse 10, is while Israel was at Sinai. All that section of scripture is discussing while Israel is at Mount Sinai camp. We talked about the fact in Exodus chapter 19, after they had left their slavery in Egypt, they came to Mount Sinai. And that's quoted in Exodus 19 verse 1 as the first day of the third month after leaving Egypt. And that's where they would stay for almost a year, covering the Exodus chapter 19 through Numbers 10. Then, 10 months later, after they had first came to Mount Sinai, the tabernacle was built and set up. That was covered in Exodus chapter 40, verse number 1. And that was quoted as the first day of the first month of the second year after leaving Egypt. 10 months after they had came originally to Mount Sinai. Then, 1 month goes by, and we see all the instructions in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1 through 27, those 27 chapters. They're at the foot of Mount Sinai, receiving God's instructions for 1 month. And that brings us to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 1, verse number 1, which that verse is quoted as the first day of the second month of the second year after leaving Egypt. And this is where the census would be taken to organize the children of Israel. Then eventually, we'll get to this, in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 11, is when they actually leave Mount Sinai to go towards the Promised Land. And that is quoted as the 20th day of the second month of the second year after leaving Egypt. So that brings you up to date on the timeline of what we've been talking about so far and where we will get to. There's one thing that I'm going to bring to your attention, though, in this particular timeline. And that is what is found in Numbers chapter 7, all the way through the end of chapter 9, verse 15. Because that is a section of scripture that has not been talked about before, but it was actually on the day that the tabernacle was set up. corresponding to Exodus chapter 40 and verse number 1. So what we're going to see as we go through the book of Numbers is that it is not chronological at all. There's things that chronologically are out of place. We always think, when we think historically, we like to have things in order. We go back to our history, U.S. history, 1776, the Declaration of Independence, go to the War of 1812, the Civil War, to the 1900s, World War I, World War II, etc., all in a row chronologically. But the Book of Numbers is not that way at all. It jumps all around. And when you understand that, it helps you understand more of what's going on. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in a little bit. Getting back to the title of the book of Numbers, the name of the book of Numbers was translated from the Greek Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and comes from the very first, or the first census taken of Israel in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 1, verse number 1. A census is taken of all the people to organize them. But there was also a second census taken, you find that in Numbers chapter 26, of the children that would actually go into the promised land. Because remember, all the ones that, the parents that came out of Egypt, they all died in the wilderness because of their disobedience and unbelief. So a second census would be taken of all the children below 20 years of age that would go actually into the promised land. But that's where our book Numbers comes from, is the census. However, the Hebrew name of the book, Bimidbar, comes from the fifth word of the book, which translated into English means in the wilderness. And that's actually a more suitable title, because that's where they're going to spend most of their time, is in the wilderness. However, our translators that put together our the Bible that you're reading titled it Numbers, according to the Greek Septuagint. The name Numbers is from the first census. 11 of the Israelite tribes were numbered. The Levites were not numbered. A total will be given, and we'll get to that number, of 603,550 men who were able to go to war. The promised land, Canaan. The Canaanites who occupied the land were very fierce, warrior-like people. They had walled cities. That's why the spies who went to spy out the land came back giving these disastrous reports. The Canaanites are huge people. They've got walled cities. So in order to conquer the promised land with God's help, it had to be conquered by war. And these men are numbered in that way. But the duties of the tabernacles, the Levites, limited them, or their duties were in the tabernacle, so they were not numbered. The Levites were not. And this, we'll see this as we go along, but the census is going to be conducted by tribal leaders. One man, one leader from each tribe, the head of each tribe, and this will be done 13 months after the Exodus from Egypt, as we start the book of Numbers. Okay? Moses is the author of the book of Numbers. We've talked about the fact he's the author of the first five books, what we call the Pentateuch. But he is the author of this book as well. Here's one place where we can read about that, in Numbers 33, verse 2, where it says, "Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and these are the journeys according to their starting points." And I've just got the verse 2 here. And then continuing on in that chapter, there's 40 places, encampments, listed of where they traveled to, written down by Moses. Now, the book of Numbers is mentioned many times in the New Testament. For example, here's one we all know, in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 5 through 10. And I've got verse 5 quoted here, where it says, "But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Talking, obviously, about the children of Israel who disbelieved and did not have an attitude of belief towards God. Another place that we can point to, Hebrews 3, verses 15 through 19, where we read, "While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And that's a summary section of scripture talking about the children of Israel who did not go into the promised land because of their disobedience and unbelief, found in the book of Hebrews. Continuing on, let's talk about a theme of the book. One of the great themes is what Israel should have been. They should have been God's people to go into the promised land, to receive and reap the blessings of the land of milk and honey. Here's a quote from International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. It says this: in Numbers, God's presence made the camp itself holy, and Israel was instructed in how to maintain this holiness through their obedience to God's instructions. However, what the people were, as opposed to what they should have been, is a theme clearly expressed in Numbers. Here's another quote from a book called The Pentateuch by Thomas. He says, the years of wandering were outside of God's will because they were due to disobedience. Chapters 15 through 25 give all the knowledge we possess of this long period. God cast a veil of silence over these years while the old generation was dying out and the new one was being trained. And I actually gave a sermon titled The Veil of Silence, talking about this very thing. The Passover of chapter 9, we'll get to that eventually, before they left Mount Sinai, they kept this Passover, is the only festival recorded in the book. And that is because Israel did not obey. They didn't even, we'll see when we get to the book of Joshua, they don't keep the Passover again until they get to the promised land. Nor did they do circumcision in their years of wandering, which was the sign of the covenant between them and God. Because of disobedience, they did not obey. And this is the only festival recorded before they left Mount Sinai. Okay, let's talk about the structure of the book of Numbers. Here's a map of the region of Sinai, the Sinai Peninsula. Up here is Egypt, where they left from their slavery. They came down this path here. Somewhere down in here was Mount Sinai in the southern tip of Sinai. Eventually they'd make their way up this way, and they should have been continuing on to go up into the promised land here, which would have been about a 2-week journey. Should have been a 2-week journey, but it did not happen that way because of their disobedience and unbelief. Structure of the book of Numbers. Section 1 of the book is from the first verse in chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through chapter 10, verse number 10. That is while they are still at Mount Sinai. So the first, basically 10 chapters, they're still at Mount Sinai receiving God's instructions about how to be organized to go into the promised land and other instructions as well. That's a period of about 19 days while they're at Sinai. The second section is their travel from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. Here's Sinai down here. There's Kadesh Barnea. It's also called Kadesh right here. That was about an 11-day journey that they made. And that will be covered in chapter 11 and 12, that journey to Kadesh. But because of their disbelief, it's from Kadesh that they launched the spies to go into the promised land, the scouts. Scouts came back with a bad report. People believed their bad report. Because of that, they would be subjected to wandering in the desert. In fact, 38 years around Kadesh, going around in circles. And you find that in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14. The third section of the book is titled On the Plains of Moab. That covers chapter 20 through the end of the book, chapter 36, verse 13. That includes the journey from Kadesh here. Finally, this would be the journey of the children who would enter the promised land. They'd make their journey a long way around. They tried to go through Edom. Edom wouldn't let them. So they had to make this roundabout way down here, this circle, come up this way to this side of the river of Jordan to eventually make their way into the promised land. And that's covered in the last part of the book, chapter 20 through the end of the book. That's the basic structure of the book of Numbers. Now when we talk about the 40 years, the famous 40 years of the children of Israel, we're talking about from the time they came out of Egypt. 40 years from the time they came out of Egypt. All right, let me explain. The book of Numbers, just the book of Numbers itself, covers a period in round numbers of 39 years of the 40 years of Israel in the wilderness. Actually, it's 38 years and 9 months. I know this is a lot of numbers to try to digest, but you can look at this later on when I send you the notes. Okay? So, we're talking about the 40 years from the time they came out of Egypt, including the last part of the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, that month while they were there, and the book of Numbers. Here's some scriptures to explain. We'll be looking at this very shortly. Numbers chapter 1, verse number 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of meeting, because it was built and ready to go, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, notice, after they had come out of the land of Egypt. So that's 13 months altogether, after they had come out of Egypt, till we get to this point in Numbers 1, verse number 1. This is where the book starts. 13 months after they had come out of the land of Egypt. Okay, here's another scripture. In Numbers 33, verse 38, this is where Aaron dies. Aaron the priest went up to high priest. Aaron the priest went up to Mount Hor at the command of the Lord and died there, notice, in the 40th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, on the first day of the fifth month. Aaron and Moses would not even go into the promised land. Only two individuals did of those that came out of Egypt, Joshua and Caleb. Aaron and Moses did not either. But we see here that Aaron dies in the 40th year in the fifth month. So there was still 6 months to go until we get to the book of Deuteronomy. 40th year, fifth month, after they came out of Egypt. One more scripture here to explain in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 3. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. And what we're going to find here is that the book of Deuteronomy entails 2 months, the last 2 months of their 40 years. See, it's the 40th year, the 11th month. So what we have in Deuteronomy is one long sermon from Moses to the children of Israel, to those children that would be going into the promised land, basically takes a month. Then Israel spends 1 month mourning Moses, who died, before they would go into the promised land. So 2 months takes in the book of Deuteronomy. Again, that entails the 40 years from the time they came out of the land of Egypt. Okay. Now let's give you some more to contemplate here. The pattern of the book of Numbers. First of all, they're at Mount Sinai. Like I mentioned earlier, takes in Exodus 19 when they first came to Sinai, all the way through Numbers chapter 10, verse number 10. And there they receive instructions from God. You know, all the instructions about building the tabernacle, in the last part of Exodus. The book of Leviticus, how to approach him by sacrifices. Then the first 10 chapters, organizing them to go into the promised land. Instructions from God. The next section of the book is from Sinai to Kadesh, about an 11-day journey. And that's from chapter 10, 11 through the end of, or actually chapter 12, verse 16. That is journey. So what we have a pattern in this book is instructions from God, journey. Instructions from God, journey. Okay? So we talked about this journey here. Now, they're at Kadesh, where the scouts were sent out, brought back a bad report, and they had to wander for 38 years. There they receive instructions from God. Really, they're at Kadesh from chapter 15 through the end of chapter 19, 38 years, and we have very little description of what went on. It's mostly God's instructions to them. Then we go back to journey again. That's from chapter 20, verse number 1 through 22:1. That's from their journey, the children now, the ones that would go into the promised land, their journey from Kadesh to Moab to get ready to go into the promised land. And then they're at Moab. That's the rest of the book where they receive instructions from God. So that's the pattern of the book. Instructions, journey, instructions, journey, instructions. And this is what they're going to be getting, even in the book of Deuteronomy, until they're ready to go into the promised land, which doesn't happen until Joshua, the book of Joshua. All right, I've already mentioned this now a couple of times, and let's talk about it again. The book of Numbers is not in chronological order. And especially, the first 10 chapters of Numbers are not in chronological order. That's against our Western way of thinking. We want everything 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, and in order. It's not that way here. And it's important to understand this. Okay? It's not chronological because emphasis is placed on the census of Israel, which is placed first. God was organizing them. The census was taken. All their numbers were put in order, organizing them. That's what's emphasized first in the book of Numbers. But it's out of chronological sequence. A commentator, Ellis, says this: Israel is not an unorganized and heterogeneous mob. They are a distinct people, whose names and ages and tribal relationships are definitely known. You know, they're going to be going into the promised land. They're not going to be going in like a big mob. You know, the slaves that came out of Egypt, they're all going every which way. They're going to be going in order. And we'll see that as we go into these chapters. However, the events of chapter 7 through 9 take place on the day when the tabernacle was set up, when it was built, Exodus chapter 40. 1 month earlier than the census of chapter 1. Okay? So, I'm going to give you the chronological order. The narrative in Numbers is not perfectly chronological, particularly chapters 1 through 10. If we rearranged it, rearrangement of the text in chronological order, chapters 1 through 10, it would be like this. And again, we're talking about the second year after leaving Egypt. The second year after leaving Egypt. After the first year, the tabernacle was set up. Okay? On the first day of the first month of the second year after leaving Egypt, the tabernacle was built and set up. Of course, we've already seen that in Exodus chapter 40, verse 2 and 17. But that's also talked about in chapter 9. Verse 15 in chapter 7, verse number 1. The first day that the tabernacle is set up. See, it's way out of order. Chapter 9 and chapter 7. Then, here's something that we haven't talked about at all in Exodus or Leviticus. On the first day of the first month through the 12th day, there were gifts and offerings brought by the tribes for the tabernacle consecration. That's found in chapter 7, verse 2 through verse 84. That hasn't been talked about at all. What's going to happen is each tribe, their leader, is going to bring gifts when the tabernacle is set up. So when it was built, ready to go, Moses says, you know, it's all constructed. For 12 days, tribal leaders brought gifts. Hasn't been talked about, but it will be discussed in chapter 7 of Numbers. But it's out of sequence. Then on the 14th day of the first month, also out of sequence, chapter 9, the Passover was kept. Remember they kept the Passover before they left Egypt? That was the central part of Exodus chapter 12. They kept the Passover, then they kept the day, they were instructed about the days of unleavened bread, then they left Egypt. The next Passover was kept before they left Mount Sinai. You find that in chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. On the 14th day, the Passover was kept. Then on the first day of the second month, this brings us to the book of the first chapter in the book of Numbers, where it begins. The census was taken. See how that's out of chronological order? We're going to be starting here shortly, the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse number 1. But it's actually on the first day of the second month, a month after all of these events had taken place. Then on the 20th day of the second month is actually when they leave Mount Sinai to head to the Promised Land. We find that in chapter 10, verse number 11. So that's the way, if we reconstructed, chronologically speaking, the way it would be. I know that's a lot to digest. You can look at it at home when I send you the notes later on and study it a little further. So the census is placed first in the book of Numbers, even though it's out of chronological order. And the reason why is to show the importance. Israel is an organized people. They're God's people. They're not just a bunch of slaves going every which way and each to his own place. They're organized. That's why this comes first. And Alice makes this comment, they are a distinct people whose names and age and tribal relationships are definitely known. Okay, that finishes the introduction. I'm going to take a drink of water real quick. And we'll get to chapter 1, verse number 1 of Numbers. Oh, one more comment before we get there. The time frame of these first 10 chapters is 19 days before they would be leaving. On the 20th day, they'll be leaving to go to Sinai. Or leaving to go to the Promised Land, sorry. Okay, Numbers chapter 1, verse number 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of meeting, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, all right, let's break this down here for a few moments. Notice that this begins with this word now. The actual, going back to the Hebrew, and if you're reading in the Old King James, it begins with the word and, which connects things together. I've mentioned that before in the Bible study series. This is a continuation of the Pentateuch. It's one long story, these five books. Our translators, our King James translators that set up our books in chapters, and verses, did that for us to be able to follow along. But actually, the way it was written by Moses, it's one big book, continuing on. So, it begins with and it's another one of the books of the Pentateuch. Here's this Hebrew, where the Hebrew title comes from, in the wilderness. This phrase right here. It's from the word bimidbar. And the Companion Bible says, because it records what took place, where it was, in the wilderness. And we see the time frame here. The first day of the second month in the second year since leaving Egypt. It had been 13 months since they left Egypt. And they had been at Sinai for about 11 months. And they're just 20 days from leaving Sinai, which would be on the 20th day of the second month. So here's the instructions then God gives to Moses. Take a census. Now we know what a census is. Every 10 years, I think it is, we get a form in the mail filling out a census for the United States government to say how many live in our household so that the government can calculate how many are living in this country. That's what they're going to do here. Take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to their number of names, every male individually, from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Okay, and verse 4, there shall be a man from every tribe, each one the head of his father's house. So we see here in verse 2 that Moses is to take a census. literally to calculate the total. And this was 1 month after the tabernacle had been set up. This is actually the second census that had been mentioned at Sinai. The first one was a census tax used for the building of the tabernacle, going back to Exodus chapter 30. Then there'll be another one in chapter 26 regarding all the young people who would actually go into the promised land. Here's a comment from Tyndale commentary about this phrase, who are able to go to war. This stresses that the nation is being organized to invade the promised land. Of course, with God's help, because of the walled cities and the tremendous peoples, the Canaanites. And one man from each tribe is appointed to be the leader, to assist Moses and Aaron in gathering these numbers for his tribe. And this would be regarded as legitimate by all. And we see that every tribe is to be numbered. And his companion Bible points out, hence 12, and with Moses and Aaron, 14. Now, this next section of scripture regarding the census is talking about the representatives, the leader from each tribe, who would take these numbers into account. So remember, you got 2 million people you're talking about here. So one leader from each tribe is going to take and build these numbers together. And it's interesting how this was done. The people remember the family history, their genealogy. I'm from this tribe, my father's house, grandfather, etc. And by this, they put it all together. But these are the leaders. And I'm not going to go read all of this because it's got all the names here from every tribe. Verse number 5, these are the names of the men who shall stand with you. And it starts off with Reuben. Verse 6, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. It has the names of these leaders from each tribe. It says in verse 16, these were chosen from the congregation, leaders of their father's tribes, heads of the divisions in Israel. So each one of these men, for instance, Eliezer, the son of Shedeur from Reuben, he would calculate the total from the tribe of Reuben, and all of these individuals, etc. Tyndale has an interesting comment about these names of these leaders. Most of these names are theophoric. That is, they are compounds in which the name of God is used. Thus, Eliezer means my God is a rock. Shemuel means, El, God is my salvation. So, all of these names of these leaders have a form of God's name in their name. And the function of these leaders is to lead the tribes, especially on the march toward the land of Canaan. So that's all the list of the leaders. Now verse 17 through 19 gives us the introduction to the census. Verse 17, then Moses and Aaron took these men, these leaders, who had been mentioned by name, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month. And they notice this, they recited their ancestry by families, by their father's houses, according to the number of names from 20 years old and above, each one individually. Not like we do where we fill out a form and send it back to the federal government. They stood and they recited their family history. And that's how they put these numbers together. Verse number 19, as the Lord commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. So Moses took these men, and the verb indicates, the verb took, that these leaders fulfilled God's command to number themselves with regard to tribal connections. And they assembled all the congregation together, as we read in verse 18, and they recited their ancestry. So this census was conducted in a systematic manner and in an orderly fashion. These were slaves that had come out of the land of Egypt. And yet we see the way God does things in order, decently and in order. It's a lesson to learn. And from verse 18, the phrase from 20 years old and above, those would be the ones that would actually be counted as warriors. Those that were under 20 were regarded as a member of his father's house, but they weren't counted in this census. Now verse 20 through 46 is all the results of the census. All the men who were 20 years old and or more who were able to go to war. Now, this All of these verses gives the name of the tribe. For instance, verse 20, Reuben. And it states the genealogies by families according to the numbers of names who were able to go to war. Those were the number, were numbered of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500. Every one of these tribes is listed now with a repeat of the same phrase. So I'm not going to read each one of these verses because it's repeating the same thing. The important thing is the calculated total from each tribe. And that's what I'm going to give you as we go on forward. The next one is from the children of Simeon. They totaled out to be 59,300. So we'll move along a little faster now. The children of Gad, the next tribe, they were 45,650. Verse 26, the children of Judah, this is the largest of the tribes, 74,600. Now why were they the largest? Probably because of their importance that they would have in later history in with regards to Israel. The next tribe, the children of Issachar, was 54,400. Verse 30, the children of Zebulun, 57,400. And from the sons of Joseph, the children of Ephraim, 40,500. Now, this is broken down from Joseph into two factions, Ephraim and Manasseh, because Levi is not going to be numbered. Because the Levites, their service is not to war, it's to work in the tabernacle. So of the 12 tribes, Joseph is broken down into two, Ephraim, and the next one, Manasseh, which was the smallest of the tribes, 32,200. However, when the next census is done, in chapter 26, of the children who actually go into the promised land, they've grown the most. Something like 20,000 more from this original figure. I think it's 52,000, if I remember right. Then in verse 36, the children of Benjamin, 35,400. Children of Dan, 62,000, another large one, 62,700. And finally we come to the end here, Asher, 41,500, and Naphtali, 53,400. This is all of the numbering of the tribes, those that were 20 years of age and older of the men. Now we haven't, this isn't including women and children. Verse 44 summarizes how the census was taken. Verse 44. These are the ones who were numbered, whom Moses and Aaron numbered, with the leaders of Israel, 12 men, each one representing his father's house. Verse 45. So all who were numbered of the children of Israel by their father's houses, from 20 years old and above, who were able to go to war in Israel. Verse 46. All who were numbered were 603,550. So verse 44, these verses here, 45 and 46, gives us the grand total of all those tribes, 603,550. Now, here's a telling fact. Out of that number of men, 600,000, only two of them would go into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb are the only two. Now, let's talk about this number, 600,000 men. Critics make light of this number. They say, no way. If we're just talking about just men, 20 years old and above, and you take in the calculation of all the other children and women, you're talking about 2 million people, they say. That's impossible. How could 2 million people live for such a long time in the desert of Sinai? And they'll say, there's no way that could be done. That's if you don't believe in miracles. Because that's what God had provided. You know what? It doesn't matter if you had 60,000 or 6,000 living in the desert of Sinai. They wouldn't survive without a miracle. God had provided for them while they were a year at Mount Sinai. God had provided for their eating and their drinking by miracle. Critics can make light of it, but you got to believe in miracles. All right? Here's something else you have to take into consideration when you're making light of this number. Prophecies. Genesis chapter 13, verse 16, the prophecy to Abraham, where he said, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. Big numbers. So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. And we're seeing that fulfilled here in these big numbers. 603,550. Okay, here's another one. Exodus chapter 1, verse 7. Pharaoh took notice of their growth. But the children of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. And Pharaoh saw that. How many had grown this great number of Israelites. What did he do? He puts them under hard slavery so that they could not take over the land of Egypt. So when we take into these scriptures into account, we can understand this number. Continuing on now, verse number 47. But the Levites were not numbered among them by their father's tribe. For the Lord had spoken to Moses saying, verse 49, only the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor take a census of them among the children of Israel. Here's the reason why, verse 50. But you shall appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, over all its furnishings, over all the things that belong to it. They shall carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings, and they shall attend to it and camp around the tabernacle. That's the Levites' responsibility, and that's what we'll be talking more about as we continue on in these first 10 chapters. About them camping around the tabernacle and guarding it. Also, who would carry what when they were on the march? Who would put together, who would take down, etc. So the Levites were not numbered to be part of the military force of Israel. They have a different responsibility. They take care of the tabernacle and its furnishings. They handle the dismantling, the movement, and the assembly. And they will guard the tabernacle and attend and camp around it. So to make up for their tribe not being numbered, Joseph is broken down into two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, to make the 12. Okay, we're coming to the end here now. Verse 51. And when the tabernacle is to go forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites shall set it up. And notice God's warning. The outsider who comes near shall be put to death. So we'll be talking as we go up, progress in these chapters about the Levites' responsibility, who would carry what, who assembles, disassembles, etc. Verse 52, the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, everyone by his own camp, everyone by his own standard, according to their armies. They'll have a flag, one that says Judah, one that says Issachar, one that says Dan, and they camp around in an organized fashion. But the Levites, verse 53, shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, where the Ten Commandments are in the most holy place, that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. Thus, verse 54, the children of Israel did, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. So the Levites' responsibility was to guard the tabernacle, to serve as a buffer between the testimony, the most holy place, and the rest of the people. Finally, I got this comment from a book called God Spake by Moses, in old English terminology, by Alice. He says this, the first sign of the holy separation of their God is the fact that the tabernacle is surrounded on three sides by the tents of the Levites, while Moses and the priests encamp in front of it. Thus, its immediate environs are sacred and sacramental. And we'll talk about the way they're going to camp around the tabernacle in the next Bible study. That brings us to the end of chapter 1, but I will leave you with a lesson. I've been hinting at this the whole time that we've been talking about this Bible study. Israel was organized according to tribes as an effective way to manage a large group of people. It made travel more efficient, and eventually, they'd be organized to divide the promised land. This organization of the camp was ordered by God, They were not a disorganized mob. The lesson for us, going to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40. That brings us to the end of the Bible study, unless anybody has any questions or comments.